Good morning, church. What are we laughing at?
You.
Huh?
You.
I'm being mocked by the praise team. I can't believe that. Okay, so let's start today off with a little of God's word. Can we do that? I love Psalm 100. It's only five verses here. Let me read them for you. Shout for joy to the Lord, all the earth. Worship the Lord with gladness. Come before him with joyful songs. Are you ready to do that? Know that the Lord is God. It is he who made us, and we are his. We are his people, the sheep of his pasture. Enter his gates with thanksgiving and his courts with praise. Give thanks to him and praise his name, for the Lord is good and his love endures forever. His faithfulness continues through all generations. That's the God that we come to worship and to praise this morning. Are you ready to do that? So welcome to our service. Welcome to our live stream worshipers. Let's invite the Holy Spirit. Father, you are indeed good. We shout to you. We enter your gates with thanksgiving because you are good. And indeed, your love for us is never ending. We pray that you would bless us with your presence this morning. Surprise us with your presence this morning. Would you open our hearts and our minds to receive what you have for us in this day? In the powerful name of Jesus, we pray. Amen. If you'll rise, if you are able, let's worship.
We worship the God who was. We worship the God who is. We worship the God who evermore will be. He opened the prison doors. He parted the raging sea. My God, he holds the victory. There's joy in the house of the Lord. There's joy in the house of the Lord today. And we won't be quiet. We shout out your praise. There's joy in the house of the Lord. Our God is surely in this place. We won't be quiet. We shout out your praise. Oh, we shout out your praise. We sing to the God who heals. We sing to the God who saves. We sing to the God who always makes a way. 'Cause he hung up on that cross. He rose up from that grave. My God still. Of the Lord today, and we won't be quiet. We shout out your praise. There's joy in the house of the Lord. Our God is surely in this place. We won't be quiet. We shout out your praise. There's joy in the house of the Lord. I was sitting there singing that song, and I was like, what is going on? What is going on? This sounds weird. This sounds weird. And then the drums came in, and I was like, oh, there they are. Like, it happens. It's amazing when one instrument doesn't quite have the vocals or the noise as every other instrument. If the children would come forward.
Why don't y'all come? No, y'all come sit out here on the floor for me, okay? Oh, come on. I know. I like to see your beautiful faces. All right. How's everybody doing? We're going to wait for Miss Parker. Come on, Miss Parker. Come sit with Miss Jamie. Come sit with Miss Jamie. All right. How's everybody doing today? Oh, is anybody doing okay? First service, kids did not talk to me, so I felt like I was alone up here. So y'all need to talk to me, okay? Huh? You want to be on the playground? Oh, well, we're not going to go to the playground, so yeah. I know. So today, I want to talk about friends. Do y'all have friends? Do you really? You have lots of friends? Do you have a friend, Harrington? Brantley, do you have a friend? See, you've got friends with you at church today. You've got a friend. You got a sister. You have a lot of friends. That's right. So I'm going to ask you, what are some things that you do with your friends? What are some things that you do with your friends? What? Play? You play with your friends? You like seeing them? You like visiting with them? Yes. Do you maybe go to the movie together? Or
no?
No? Okay. Do you ride bikes together?
No.
Oh, wow. Okay. What?
Go to Lego.
You went to the Little Stitch movie with your friends?
Yeah.
Yes. Okay, so you went to the movie.
At the mall.
At the mall. Okay. So it's fun to be to spend time with your friends because you talk to them and you get to know them, right? Right? So do you enjoy spending time with your friends? Okay. So when you spend time, you want to get to know them and ask them questions. So I'm going to ask you some questions because you know why I want to ask you some questions? Because you're my friend. Did you know that? Did you know that you're my friend? That I enjoy spending time with you?
But me and my friends don't ask questions.
You don't ask questions of each other? Okay, well, I'm going to ask you some questions because I want to get to know you a little bit more. So a couple things. What's your favorite dessert? What do y'all like to eat?
Brownies.
Brownies? Okay, who likes to eat chocolate cake?
Carmen?
What? You like chocolate cake? Okay.
I like strawberries.
You like strawberries? Very good. Okay. Who likes just cookies? Just cookies? I know. Cookies, yes. Your brother does? Yeah. Okay. So who likes ice cream? Okay. Ice cream. I love ice cream. Yes. I try not to buy it because I will eat all of it at my house. So, yeah. So, now, what's your favorite color?
Pink.
Pink?
Pink?
Pink? Blue?
I just like red.
You just like red?
Pink.
Brown? It's a good color, yes. What? Pink? Pink? Okay.
I have two favorite colors.
Blue and red. Okay.
My favorite is red, white, and blue.
Red, white, and blue. Very good. All right.
Am I?
Okay, very good. Lots of good colors. I love red. I love red. So red's one of my favorite colors. But I also like green and blues and things like that. But red's one of my favorite colors. So it's important to know those things about your friends because you have things in common, right? And you can talk about your desserts. Hey, I had ice cream at lunch yesterday for dessert. Chocolate vanilla. Yeah. But you could talk about maybe you had a brownie or whatever. But it's good to have things to talk about with your friends, right? But you can also talk about the games that you play and the things that you can do together. So are friends important? Are friends important?
Yes.
Do friends help you? If you fall down and you're with your friend, does your friend help you get up? Yes. If you're playing something, it takes two of you. You have each other. You can play, right? So friends are very important, right? So do you know I have a special friend, but I also know that he can be your special friend too.
God.
Jesus. Do you know he's your friend? Have you ever thought about Jesus being your friend? That's right. He was the Lamb, but he loved us so much because we're his friends. He did die on the cross for us. And so it's important when you're friends that you talk to them, right? So do you talk to Jesus? What do you talk to him about? What are some things that you talk to him about? A lot of stuff. You can talk to him about anything. He wants you to talk to him about anything. You can talk to him about when you're sad or when you're happy or when you're mad. Did you know you can talk to Jesus when you're mad? Yeah. So we can talk to him about anything, anytime, and anywhere. Isn't that amazing that he listens to us? Now, another thing that we can think about is all the people in the world can talk to God too. But do we all just take turns talking to him one at a time? No, we don't. If all of us were praying, do you think God hears us? He does. It says in God's word, it says the Lord's eyes look on his people and he blesses them and his ears are open to your prayers. So he hears your prayers. Even if 10,000 people are praying, he hears you because he loves you. He cares about you. He's your friend, and he wants to listen to you. Isn't that amazing that he would do that? So do you want to spend time with Jesus?
Yes.
Yes, you do. So can you spend time every day and just thank him for the day and thank him for your family? Do you think coming to church is spending time with Jesus? Yes, it is. and learning in children's church is spending time with Jesus, right? Do you think he's happy that you come to church today and that everybody's here today? And does he listen to us? He does. So let's remember to spend time with Jesus, because Jesus is our friend and he loves us and he cares about each one of us. Okay? All right, let's say a prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, I thank you for this day, and I thank you for these boys and girls who are here today, and I thank you that you hear us. Even when we feel like no one else is listening, you are always listening to us, because your word says you hear our prayers, and we thank you for that, and just thank you for these families that are here today, and just bless each one, and just help us as we go to Children's Church today to learn and to know about you, Lord. We love you and praise you in Jesus' name. Amen. Let's go.
Well, good morning. Good to see everybody this morning. Once again, good to have you worshiping with us online. If you're able, let's stand and recite the Apostles' Creed together. I believe in God, the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead, and buried. The third day he rose from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sitteth at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence he shall come to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Universal Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, in the life everlasting. Amen. Please be seated. I'm going to go ahead and encourage you to check into the service you're attending, either here in the building or at home. Just another little housekeeping matter. I mentioned this last week. We really love providing coffee for everybody in the mornings. And we just ask it, if you come in the sanctuary, please have a lid on that cup. And if you trip and fall and spill your whole cup, you get a pass. I won't mention any names. Larry is that involves. But anyway. So, yeah, just please. We've had kind of an uptick in spills, and that'll just help us in our maintenance of the building. I want to remind you, our church office is closed tomorrow for Labor Day, so there will be no noon prayer time. And the next event on the calendar is the men's breakfast on September the 13th, 7:30 in the Fellowship Hall. So 4 weeks ago, we prayed over Mike Wilkins, who had a heart pump implanted on the 8th of August. He returned on Thursday, and Mike's with us this morning. And he's doing incredibly well, 3 weeks and 2 days out from that surgery. And the rehab hospital said he's the strongest person that's walked out of there after this procedure. And so y'all continue to pray for strength for him. Mike, good to see you and Molly and Emma. So we have several prayer focuses through the month. The 30th of the month is a day that the prayer team prays for the persecuted church. And that was yesterday, but today I would like to make that our prayer focus. There are a number of Christians around the world that are being persecuted for their faith. I read some statistics this morning that there's 380 million Christians worldwide that receive a high level of persecution. That doesn't mean that somebody made a nasty comment about them on Facebook. And that's important. That's significant. I understand that. But these are people that their faith is costing them their jobs, costing them relationship with their families, 380 million worldwide. Last year, 4,500 lost their lives for their faith. Another 4,800 were detained and imprisoned for their faith last year. The country where most that persecutes Christians the most is North Korea, excuse me. And there's been a large rise in the number of persecutions among the African nations in the last several years, especially Nigeria. So, you know, we're so far removed from that. I mean, I am. It's kind of hard for me to feel that pain. I don't know if it's hard for you to or not. But I remember something the Apostle Paul said in 1 Corinthians 12:26. If one part of the body of Christ, which there are brothers and sisters in the Lord, right? If one part suffers, every part suffers with it. So that should grieve us a little bit for those who are struggling, being persecuted for their faith. So I want to pray this morning. I want to pray through some prayer points that our prayer team prayed through yesterday. And I want to encourage you to join me. You can just listen along, or you can offer your own prayer up to the Lord. So let's pray for these believers. Father, I thank you for your love, Jesus. I thank you that your grace and mercy extends to every person that's ever drawn a breath. And Father, our brothers and sisters around the world are just really, really struggling. And Father, I pray, first of all, that we feel this connection that the Holy Spirit brings about. When they suffer, I pray that it touch us deeply, that we just get on our knees and intercede for them, that they will be strong, that they will persevere to the end. Father, I pray that they sense your presence, Lord, wherever they're at, God, whatever they're going through. Lord, if they're in prison somewhere, God, I pray even right now that through the power of the Holy Spirit, they sense your presence is with them. I pray that they not feel like they're alone. And God, I just pray that they just know that the body of Christ around the world is lifting them up in prayer. God, I pray that they experience your comfort, Lord, for those who are needing comforting. And God, I pray for that the doors of evangelism are just swung wide open. Father, it just seemed like those countries where persecution takes place, God, the gospel is going forth and revival is taking place. God, we praise you for that. But I pray for more opportunities, Father, for them to share the gospel with their Hindu neighbors, with their Hindu family, their Islamic neighbors, their Islamic family, even their captors, even those that are punishing them. I pray that you give them boldness to share the hope that rests inside of them. And God, I pray that persecution does its work, that these believers mature in their faith. And Lord, I pray that you grant them wisdom in the ministries they're involved in. God, I know a lot of them are covert. I know a lot of churches are underground. God, would you protect that effort? And Lord, I just pray that you station angels around facilities, around areas of a community where the church meets. God, I pray against the evil one, what he would try to do to disrupt the furtherance of the gospel to your people worshiping you. God, you inhabit those praises. God, protect that effort. And God, I pray that they remain joyful, Lord, amid sufferings. And God, would you give them the courage, would you give them boldness to forgive their persecutors and love their persecutors. May they sense it all joy. They're undergoing trial, that they're undergoing persecution. And Lord, I just thank you for your word that goes forth, that your word that runs swiftly. Lord, I pray that it changes them. It's alive, it's active. And I pray that it changes hearts. And also, Father, that same word is, as Brother Larry Young shared this morning, God, it's alive, it's active. I pray that it does its work. Help us not to resist that this morning. Oh, Father, we need you so. The persecuted church needs you desperately. And God, I'm convinced without a doubt you will make provision for the church. We love you. Thank you for this opportunity to pray. And we pray the prayer that Jesus taught his disciples to pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. The Church, once again, thank you for your financial faithfulness. You can continue to give electronically. Those options are on the screen, or you can give through the offering boxes. I know we'll have some people available for prayer after the service. Once again, I encourage you to take advantage of that. Maybe that's why God's brought you here this morning, or one of the reasons that you will maybe lay that burden down and allow Jesus to do his work in your life. Let's continue to worship the Lord together.
Christ. We believe in the Holy Spirit, and He's given us new life. We believe in the crucifixion. We believe that He conquered death. We believe in the resurrection, and He's coming back. He's coming back again. He's coming back again. We believe.
Good morning, church. And good morning for those of you watching from home. I want to thank Jeff for allowing me to stand in this place. I'm not sure you are aware that this place can be holy ground for anyone who will come before the Lord. And so, it's kind of, you know, I can tell you there was a time before my dad accepted Christ that we were talking one day and he said, you know, he said, I don't know why you think preaching and pastoring is so hard. He said, you only work 20 minutes a week. I said, Dad, it's more than that. Now, I'm not sure I ever shared with him. I had a chance once to be in a place where there was a gathering of pastors, and Billy Graham was there. And we had a little question and answer time, and someone asked Billy Graham, they said, what are you thinking about right before you stand up to preach? I love what he said. He said, I'm just trying to keep from throwing up on my shoes. You see, he knew that God had allowed him to stand on holy ground. And that of the thousands, tens of thousands that Billy Graham preached to, he knew that eternity hung in the balance. Now, that's a little, you get that for free. That's a sideline there. Turn in your Bibles to Acts 10:38, and we'll have this on the screen. But I just want you to know that, you know, it can be a little bit nerve-wracking when you stand in this place and you know that somebody needs a fresh touch from Jesus. Their marriage is in trouble, their kids are in trouble, they're depressed and sad. So what I want for you today is to hear the word of the Lord, because the word of the Lord is for you. It's for you. Acts 10:38, I'll read it and you can follow along. I'm reading from the New Living Translation. There might be a word or two different from your Bible, but that's okay. Don't call 911. It's okay. And here, and you have in your bulletin the name of this message. I don't like giving them names, but Jeff really likes giving them names. So he told me, give it a name. So that's what I've done. So it's We Know. We know. That means we understand and we've got some knowledge that's been given to us from God to us. Here's this passage. And you know that God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Spirit and with power. And then Jesus went around doing good and healing all who were oppressed by the devil, for God was with him. You see, the Father sent the Son with the power from heaven so that he would come and begin to do great things in people's lives to turn them from sin, to turn them to the Lord, so that they would overcome what sin does. I mean, sin brings sickness and all kinds of death, and yet the Lord has empowered Jesus to come. And wherever there was oppression, Jesus was able to bring them from that. Now, I want you to hold on to that, and then we're going to go to Jeremiah 29:11, but we're not showing it on the screen. I'm just going to read it for you. However, if you sit on this side of the sanctuary, I'm sorry. If you sit on this side of the sanctuary, it's on the wall. Okay? But I'm going to read it, and you'll get what the Lord wants you to get from it. So it says, "For I know the plans I have for you, says the Lord. They are plans for good and not for disaster, to give you a future and a hope." The Lord has a plan. You see, when Adam and Eve sinned in the garden, the relationship with God was broken. They had to leave. The relationship was broken, and it broke God's heart. And so then God begins to put a plan together so that he can reunite mankind with himself. He can bring back together. You see, what God really loved was walking in the garden with Adam and Eve. He just loved being with them. And let me tell you something. He loves being with you. He wants you to be restored so that the relationship that you have with him is intimate and tender. We can see that the Lord was putting together a plan to restore man's relationship. He wanted to overcome in any way that he could the sickness and death that sin brings. And that's what, I mean, sin breaks everything. So God said, I'm going to make a way, and here's what I'm going to do. I'm going to send my only son so that he can lead the charge against sin and bring my children back to me. Throughout the scripture, we see and have this understanding of a theme. And that theme is knowing. Knowing. Having understanding. Seeing how things really work. Seeing how things come together in the Lord. You see, the Lord doesn't want us in the dark. He wants us in the light. And he wants us in to be enlightened. And to be in the light of Jesus. And Jesus even says that he is the light. The Lord reveals spiritual truths to us. to anyone who will believe in him. He lays out knowledge, knowing, understanding. You see, God makes it possible for us to cling to him where sin cannot harm us anymore. Can you imagine? It's this wonderful lesson that he gives. Now, if the Lord speaks a lesson out of his word, that would be a good thing, wouldn't it? Wouldn't that be important? Sure. What if God said the same thing twice? That would be even better. Amen? Amen. Today we're going to take a quick look at the theme of knowing the truth about God. Only I want you to understand, he says it 18 times. The message for us is not once, it's not twice. There are 18 truths that we can know. Now, you have a sheet in your bulletin that lists the scriptures. Now, there's 18 that begin with the phrase, we know. There's some more verses there that begin with, I know, or you know, that phrase. And then there are some that are just simply truths. There's a couple that are just simple truths that anybody could believe. Here's one. John 3:16. For God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, that whoever believes in him will not perish but have eternal life. Anybody can understand that. That's the kind of knowledge that anybody can receive. And let me tell you, it'll transform lives too. But we have these 18 truths that we're going to take a look at. If you are one of those people that like taking sermon notes, I don't know how you're going to handle 18 points. But do your best. Try, okay? The Lord wants us to claim the truth of the Scriptures. That is, we read the Scriptures, we see the truth, and then we claim it as our own. This is why God put it in black and white for us. He gives us knowledge. We are to lock that knowledge away in our spirits. We have a spirit, right? It's an eternal thing. But there's also a soul, and there's also this, like I say, the Lord wants us to have or to lock away this knowledge. And the purpose of the knowledge is so we can go through life growing in intimacy with him, knowing him, and allowing our spirits to grow near him. It's a maturing, it's a growing. And the Lord wants us to have this. It's a deepening walk. That is, God wants us to continue to grow with him. He wants us to continue to be his possession. And so deepening in our walk, this is what I said earlier, that the Lord wants to walk with us just like he walked with Adam and Eve. He wants to walk every day, knowing him more and more, knowing the beauty of the Lord, knowing the wonder of the Lord. You see, we're supposed to grow, draw near, know more and more about him. And as we do that, we can see all that he wants to do, desires to do, is willing to do. Now, it does take time. It does take seeking. That is going after the Lord. How do you do that? Well, we have the Word. He gives it to us, and it's right in front of us. We can read our Bibles. We can go and believe what the Lord has said. And as we believe, we take on this likeness of him. Now, one of the things that we need to do to help ourselves is to begin with praise as a motivator. That is, we need to praise the Lord. As we praise Him, we find ourselves drawn to Him. So on any given Sunday morning, we begin these services that we have with praise and worship. This helps us. This draws us so that we can know the plans that He has for us. Again, I'm going to say it because it's important. He's not trying to keep a secret. He wants you to know what He knows about you. He'll reveal what He wants for us. We can have it. Now, it may come one step at a time. That's okay. One step at a time is not a bad thing, because we can absorb, we can gain, and we can grow with Him. Now then, we know that He hears our prayers, and we know His word is true. We can trust it. We know there is power in His name. We know He is our Lord and Savior. We know that sin has lost its power in our lives. We know and can believe that sin can no longer torment us. As we seek the Lord, we know that He causes everything to work together for the good of those who love Him. My brothers and sisters, we need to understand something. We need to have a very clear understanding that there is someone who is for you. There is someone, and you know who that is. There's also someone against us. But what I'm going to do, and what I encourage you to do, is to hang on to the one who loves you. Hang on to the one who is for you. No matter what you face, He's there. No matter what trouble might come, He is there. We know that we are called according to His purposes. We have spiritual gifts that the Lord gives us. We have some talents, and God is so sweet to us to help us. But here's what we need to understand. It's for His purposes. That is, we're family. We belong. We walk with Him in His kingdom's work. We know that by faith, that we're saved. We are given faith. God gives us faith. We don't have to muster it. We don't have to try to make it up. No, God says, I'll give you what you need to follow Me. I'll give you what you need to trust in Me, to believe in Me. We know that we have been given life through Jesus. We know that the Father raised Jesus, and He will also raise us. Now then, we know that when we die, we are given a heavenly home and a glorified body. That comes to us who believe. When I was younger, I had a favorite song. And my favorite song was, Since Jesus Came Into My Heart. Since Jesus came into my heart. Now, I love the song, but I really love the first verse. The first verse goes like this. I go to dwell in that city I know. I go to dwell in that city I know. And I had a friend who liked to say, if you read this song, you can see in the song, it does not say, I go to dwell in that city, I hope so. No. It's, I'm going somewhere to be with the Lord. And it's guaranteed. It's guaranteed. We know that when we believe, we are given resurrection power and the Holy Spirit. We know by mercy we have been born again. And we live with this great expectation. We ought to have an everyday expectation that we're walking with the Lord and He's watching out for us and He's going to help us with every issue of life. We also have a priceless inheritance. A priceless inheritance. When Jesus came out of that tomb after the cross and He goes to heaven, He receives from His Father an inheritance made up of everything that the Father owns. And then they tell us that if we'll believe in the Lord Jesus, we will go to heaven like He did, and His inheritance will become ours. Just like His, ours will be the same. We know that we are called God's children. We know that we should live for and love others. We know the Lord loves us and we trust His love. We know that the Lord hears us and gives us what we ask for. We know Jesus has come and given us understanding. I want to share something with you that a little bit off track, but it's worth hearing. And that is, I was reading an article about Mother Teresa. I hope you remember her name. She is the Catholic nun who worked in the slums of Calcutta, India, and just did an amazing work. But she once said this. She said, "I know God will not give me anything I can't handle." Have you ever heard that phrase before? Sure you have. Sure you have. But she said, "I know God will not give me anything I can't handle. I just wish He didn't trust me so much." I resonate with that. I resonate with that. Lord, I trust You. I know that You won't give me anything I can't handle. That's one of Your promises. So I'm not going to worry about it. But, Lord, I don't want to let You down. I don't want to let You down. But the Lord has complete confidence in you. He has got complete confidence in you. He knows He can share this knowledge out of His Word, but that it'll transform us and make us more like Him. Don't worry. Just trust Him. Now here's a phrase that I've come to love. The Father knows me, and I know Him. Repeat after me. The Father knows me, and I know Him. Let that sink in. It'll change you. It'll help you. We know that when we walk in faith and not by sight, we'll be blessed when we come in. We'll be blessed when we go out, when we lie down, and when we get up. You see, what God says is, God says, "I just want to bless you and bless you and bless you. And I don't care where you're going. I don't care where you've been. I just want to bless you," says the Lord. "I want to cover you up with my love for you." And Jesus says, when we have troubles, we need to know that He'll take care of us. There is no trouble coming your way that Jesus can't handle. Jesus is the problem solver. We know that He keeps His promises. We know it. We count on it. He is the overcomer. He is the overcomer. I love the story of the blind man in the Bible. He was born blind. He was blind all his life until Jesus came along. And Jesus healed him. And the Pharisees took him aside and questioned him. And they said, who did this to you? Who healed you? It was kind of funny because the indication from the scripture is that he said, I'm blind, moron. I don't know. But then they ask him, then what did he do? If you don't know who it was, what did he do to bring sight to you? We all know what he said. And don't we love it to say to the Pharisees, I don't know. What I do know is this. Once I was blind, but now I can see. You see, this is my story. I once was spiritually blind, but now I see. I don't know where you've come from. I don't know where you've been. But let me tell you, there's some things in your life that are like a blindness, but Jesus wants to take that away and restore you so that you can see perfectly. There are other passages in the scripture where someone was healed, and that's what they say is, I don't know much of nothing, except I know this, I've been healed. And there's no limit to what Jesus can do. You see, what we know is that we're set free by our Savior. This is something we know. We have chosen to believe the Word of God. And we know that no word spoken by God is without power. That is, if God's talking, there's power involved in whatever He's saying. There's power to change. You see, if we have problems and troubles, we can be sure that Satan would like us to believe that they're unsolvable. There's never been a bigger lie than that. Why is that? Because if Jesus resides in your heart, He is there to heal and to change and to deliver. Whether we have emotional struggles, depression, sadness, loneliness, addiction, doesn't matter. The Lord can help. I was having an interesting conversation with Joyce here not long ago. Joyce always sits right here. That's her place. So don't be getting any ideas. That's hers right there. Now, I sit over here. Jim, yeah, raise your hand. I sit where Jim's sitting today. He's in my place. But I was telling Joyce, I said, I sit here, but I look over here. And I'm always wondering, well, let me say this. Joyce says, that's funny. I sit over here, but I'm looking over here. Just looking at people. And we're both wondering, what does the Lord want to do with that one? Or that one? Or that one? Or that one? What's happening in the lives of this one that the Lord wants to set them free, wants to heal them, wants to draw them up close to Himself? I was saying that in the early service, if I've said this, stop me. I had a dream not long ago. And in that dream, I went to heaven. And while I was there, Jesus was sitting on a throne. And I went up to Him, and I laid my head in His lap, and I put my arms around His waist and held Him real tight. You see, what I needed was more of Jesus. And you can have more of Jesus. Do you have something going on? I've got to finish up here, but I know that it is possible for you, wherever you've come from, whatever situation you're in, to be delivered by Jesus. I know this to be true. No matter what you face or are facing, excuse me, whether it's emotional, relational, physical, spiritual, the Lord can deal with it. We know this truth. Jesus said, in the world you'll have trouble, but take heart, I have overcome the world. We know for sure that Jesus can heal. Let me close with this. There is a story that every preacher I've ever talked to knows this story. Or they know a version of this story. So I'm going to give you my version of this story. There was a man who had been a Bible teacher, scholar, and he had spent all of his life studying the scriptures. He came to the end of his life, and he was over 80 years old. And someone asked him, they said, in 80 years of studying the scripture, what is the one lesson that you have learned from the Bible? And he said, oh, that's easy. Jesus loves me. This I know because the Bible tells me so. Praise team, come. We're going to open the altar. Maybe you need to come and just bow and say, Lord, I need you to do some work on me. I need you to help my family. I'm going to claim the I knows. I know it. I know you can, and I know you will help me. And so I'm going to invite you to come. I'm going to ask Jeff to be available. We have some prayer team folks available that can pray with you if you wish. But I'm going to ask you to stand. Praise team's going to sing. You come.
To the Lord, our God and King, His love endures forever. For He is good, He is above all things. His love endures forever. Sing praise, sing praise. With a mighty stretched on, His love endures forever. For the life that has been reborn, His love endures forever. Sing praise, sing praise, sing praise, sing.
My brothers and sisters, two things. One, if you're visiting with us today, welcome. And we'd love for you to exit through this door on this side where our pastor could meet you. Now, as you leave this place, Jesus walks with you. Maybe you're here and you've never met him. He wants to meet you. Go from this place in the blessing of the Lord. It's for you. Lord, we thank you. Lord, we praise you. Lord, we ask you to walk with us this week. In Jesus' name, amen. You're dismissed.
Hi, this is Pastor Jeff Hatcher with Wiley Methodist Church in Abilene, Texas. I want to thank you for listening to this message from God's Word today. If you do not know Jesus as your Lord and Savior, He loves you and He wants to be your friend and your Savior. If that is you, I ask you to pray this prayer with me. Lord, I confess that I am a sinner. I ask you to forgive me of my sin. I ask you to come into my heart and be my Lord and my Savior and wash me as white as snow in Jesus' name. Amen. If you prayed that prayer today for the first time, I invite you to do four things. First of all, tell someone, share this decision with someone. We are better together than we are alone. And then also, I ask you to consider being baptized. Jesus himself set the example for us by being baptized himself, and he encourages us to do the same. And then I ask you to consider finding a Bible-believing and Bible-preaching church and plug in. Again, we are better together than alone. And then finally, I ask you to get into God's Word. It's not just because it is makes us a better person, but also because it is the living Word, and God speaks to us through His Word. The Gospel of John is a great place to begin. If I can help you be of any sort of assistance through this process, you can contact me at my email address, jhatcher@wileymethodist.org. God bless you.